Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we are going to talk about this wonderful story of Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Oh, you remember Zacchaeus, don't you? And the wonderful song that we sang as children about him, and maybe we still sing today. Let's sing it together. Let's just sing that song together right now. You remember that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man? Okay, everybody remember that? So let's sing it together. I'm going to lead it, and y'all sing it with me. Ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed on by, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. What a great song. And it's taken from right here in Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 through 10. Let's look at those verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a wonderful story. You know, I think we can all identify to some degree with Zacchaeus. Someone who's looking for something else in their life. You know, Zacchaeus was a rich man, the Bible says, but evidently his riches could not satisfy him because he was looking for something else. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he knew Jesus was coming through, yet he could not see because the crowd was so surrounding Jesus. And Zacchaeus was a short man. He was not tall. You know, the average height in that day and time really wasn't all that tall. Today, we're much taller than those people were. In fact, the average height, I think, was around 5'6". You know, Zacchaeus must have been even shorter than that. Now, we don't know how tall he was, but he was evidently smaller than the average height. And so he couldn't see over everybody else. We've all had that experience at one time or another, being in a large crowd of people and trying to see someone and, you know, getting up on our tippy toes and trying, and even when we're children, Daddy, lift me up. I want to see. You know, I remember putting my kids on my shoulders, you know, at parades and other events like that so they could see over the crowd. Well, that's what Zacchaeus wanted to do. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't do it. And so he ran on ahead of the crowd, and he got up into a tree. Now, the New King James Version says it was a sycamore tree. Some other translations say it was a fig tree. We don't know exactly what kind of tree it was. That's okay. It doesn't matter. He climbed up into a tree, and that way, you see, he could look down and he could see Jesus, because that's what he wanted to do. But you know, Jesus was looking for him too. And when he came by, Jesus looked up in that tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you hurry up and come down from there because I'm going to your house right now." How thrilling that must have been for Zacchaeus. Here he wanted a relationship with Jesus. And that Jesus was coming down the road, and now Jesus looks up at him and he says, "Zacchaeus, guess what? I want a relationship with you too." And so Zacchaeus comes down, he receives him into his house joyfully. Well, let's talk about Zacchaeus and his story as we think about the question, why have a relationship with Jesus? Why should we have a relationship with Jesus? First of all, we should have a relationship with Jesus because Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. Now, whether we realize it or not, that's the truth. Jesus really wants to know us and to have a relationship with us. You say, well, having a relationship, that's like very personal. That's a one person being involved with another person on a very personal level, one-on-one. Yes, that's right. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about having a relationship with Jesus, a one-on-one relationship. Oh, well, you say, well, that's not possible. You can't have a relationship with every single person. That would be impossible. It would be crazy to say that. Well, Jesus can do it. And why is that? It's because of who Jesus is, you see. Jesus was a man, but he was more than a man. He was the Son of God. He was divine, and he is divine. And he continues to be divine today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. You see, that's who Jesus is. He is God. And because he is God, he can have a relationship with every single person that wants to have a relationship with him. And there are no limitations with Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 17, this same thought is put forth by the Apostle Paul when he says this: "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And now listen to this: and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Now he is before all things. That's not talking about being before all things in time. That's talking about being with all things. He is before all things, like one person is before another person. That's how Jesus is with every single one. He is before all things. He is in front of all things. And everything holds together because of him. And so you see, Jesus can have a relationship with every single person because he is before all things. But what's so compelling about this is that who Jesus is. He's the very God of heaven. He's the Creator. He's the one through whom all things have been made. And yet, he, the God of heaven, wants to have a relationship with me. What a wonderful and beautiful thought. And that can really happen. You know, I suppose we would be thrilled if we received a letter from the governor or from the president or for somebody that we admire greatly, maybe a movie star or a famous singer or something like that. Somebody that we admire greatly. If we got a letter in the mail that says, "This person wants you to come to their house and to meet with them and visit with them and get to know them," we'd probably be excited about that. You know what would be even more exciting? If they came to our house and knocked on our door and wanted to come in and visit with us there, that would be even more incredible. And yet here is Jesus, the very God of the universe, wanting to come in and to live with us. You see, Jesus wants to have a relationship with every single person. And He proved this by going to the cross for us when we were yet sinners. You see, He desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. He gave Himself for all. And He wants to have a relationship, you see, with every single person. 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 6. And listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. Yes, He wants to have a relationship with us, and He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Listen to what John 14 and verse 23 says. Jesus says this: if anyone loves me, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now listen to this. And we, that is Jesus and the Father, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him. Now think about that for a minute. That's personal. If I said to you today, you know what, I love you so much, I'm going to come and live with you from now and forever, you probably say, wait a minute. I like you, but I don't like you that much, okay? And we could understand that a little bit because, you know, people are needy, right? But Jesus isn't needy like that. And so He can really come in and He can really make a home with us and really have a personal relationship with us. Listen to what He says in Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now that's a personal relationship. And you see, Jesus is the one who is knocking. He's the one who's standing. He's the one who's waiting. And He's wanting to come in. Why have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. Point number two. Why have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus doesn't care what other people think about us. Now, Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. In Luke 19, the passage that we're looking at about Zacchaeus, we see Jesus wanted to have that personal relationship with Zacchaeus. He says, so I'm coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. Now look what happens next. All the people who are surrounding Jesus, okay, all this whole mob who's thronging Him, evidently they really didn't want to know Jesus like Zacchaeus wanted to know Jesus. Because look what they said. They said, when they saw it, verse 7, they all complained, or they murmured, or they griped. They all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Oh, they're going to hang around Jesus. Yeah, oh, they're going to hang around. As soon as he does something they don't like, see you later, Jesus. Well, that's a pretty bad attitude to have, isn't it? You know, if we treated everybody like that, I don't think we'd have any friends at all. Because look, everybody's going to do something I don't like at some point in their life, right? Is that an excuse not to have a relationship with them? Of course not. But that's how we act sometimes. As if we're the sole arbiter of what's right and wrong, huh? But we're not. Now, Jesus was He is the sole arbiter of what's right and wrong. Think about that for a minute. And they are judging him? But you see, Jesus really wants to have a relationship with every single person. He really does stand at the door. Now, even people like Zacchaeus, people who society detests, people who society shuns, people who are not polite society, right? Jesus even wants to know them and have a relationship with them. And this leads us to our second point. Why have a relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus doesn't care what other people think about us. Okay? Now that's important. Now I know that every single one of us at some point in our life, at one time or another, we've been on the receiving end of that kind of treatment, right? Where here we are minding our own business or doing something that we like to do, and then a whole group of people come up and they say, "Oh, I don't like that. I don't like what you're doing. Look what you're doing. We're not going to hang out with you anymore," right? Now everybody's, at least I think everybody's experienced that at some point in their life. I know I have. And if you haven't, well, then you're just pretty cool, I guess. But that's what's happening here to Jesus. We don't like what you're doing, so we're not going to hang out with you anymore. But you know what? Jesus didn't care about that. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, well, because you guys are not approving of what I'm doing, I'm going to leave old Zacchaeus alone over here. I'm not going to hang out with him now. And I'll go ahead and placate your desires and give you what you want. And so I won't do that." Well, that wouldn't have been right, would it? Because Zacchaeus needed Jesus just as much as anybody else needs Jesus. And so you see, Jesus doesn't care what other people think about you. He still wants a personal relationship with you, regardless. You know, the multitudes were fickle. One day they were for Jesus, another day they were against it. But Jesus knew what was right. He had his identity firmly in his Father, and he wasn't going to change that. And he was not going to alter his way of doing things just because a bunch of people didn't like what he was doing. Jesus was impartial toward the fickleness of the crowds. People recognized that he showed no partiality within his life. In Luke 20 and verse 21, they said, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God." Now, people don't like it when you do that, you see, because they want you to be partial to them. They want you to favor them over others. And when you don't act like that, well, then you're not doing what they want, and so they're going to cut you off. But that's not who Jesus was. Jesus knew better than that, and he was impartial. He loved everybody, and he wanted to have a relationship with everyone, including Zacchaeus, regardless of the things that Zacchaeus had done in the past. And look, Zacchaeus was a sinner, okay? Because everybody is. Zacchaeus was especially despised because the tax collectors of that day, you see, they had a habit of going in and collecting more money than what they were supposed to collect. And they had the force of Roman law behind them, and so whatever they said you had to do, whether it was right or not. And so a lot of people didn't like them for doing that. And here was not just a tax collector, but the chief of the tax collectors. And now Jesus is going in to be his guest. Well, God doesn't show partiality. He wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, Peter says, "Truly I understand, God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Jesus taught us not to judge by the outward appearance. Judge not according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. John 7, verse 24. And do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. James chapter 2 and verse 1. You see, because Jesus was impartial. He's the kind of friend you want. He's the one who's not going to care what other people say about you. He is going to seek a relationship with you regardless. Because ultimately, it's about you and Him. That's who it's about. And guess what? Nobody else gets a vote on the Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment is not going to be a democracy. People aren't going to sit around saying, well, I think this person should make it into heaven and this person shouldn't make it into heaven. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like the United States of America, where we think majority rules, okay? No, it's going to be one-on-one, one person and Jesus, and that's it. And nobody else is going to have a say, but you have a say. You have a say on whether or not you are going to have a relationship with Jesus, and you can make that happen. Because Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. And He doesn't care what other people think. Why have a relationship with Jesus? Finally, because Jesus cares about your identity. He cares about who you really are. You know, a lot of people today, they want to make coming to church or religion or whatever, they want to make it about what I can get out of it. And you know, some people will come into church and they'll say, well, I just didn't get anything out of it. And then there's other people who say, well, I got a whole lot out of it. Jesus, our relationship with Jesus isn't about what we can get out of Him. Okay? Now, if we're looking at Jesus in that way, whether we're getting something out of it or we're not getting something out of it, we're looking at it the wrong way. Okay? Because it's not about getting something out of it. You see, having a relationship with Jesus is not what we can get out of it, but who we can be with Him. Now that's identity. All right? Because Jesus teaches us who we really are and who we really are not. Now the Bible said that Zacchaeus was rich. Oh, that was his identity, you see. He was a rich man. And he had put his identity in all of his wealth and his riches. But that hadn't satisfied him. But fundamentally, Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. Though he had lost his identity pursuing worldly wealth. But Jesus reminded him that he was a child of Abraham. You see, nothing else mattered other than that identity. Being a child of Abraham. That's who Zacchaeus was. And now that's who we can be today as well, through Jesus Christ. Listen to Paul's statement in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's identity. You see, that's who I can be, having a relationship with Jesus. It's not about what I can get out of it. It's about who I am. And who I can be with Jesus in my life. And that is a blessed place to be. Having a relationship with Jesus means that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14 and verse 17. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1 and verse 21. And Jesus says, take my identity. Come, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why is that? Because the yoke and the burden are Jesus Himself. Learn of me. That's who Jesus is teaching us to be like Him, having our identity in Him. And if we have our identity in Jesus, we are someone, okay? And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, we are someone. Now, Paul wrote about this in Galatians 3, 25 through 29. He said, now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, You are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now listen, this is identity. There is neither Jew nor Greek. That's not where your identity is. It's not in your heritage or your nationality. There's neither slave nor free. It's not in your status in society. That's not where your identity is. There is no male or female. Your identity isn't in your biology, okay? That's not where your identity is. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's where your identity is. That's who I really was created to be. That's who you were really created to be. And if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. You see, being in Christ means that I, like Zacchaeus, am a child of Abraham. And that salvation has come to my house. Why have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because He cares about who you are. Now look, folks. I want to know Him. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to have a personal relationship with Him. Why? Because He wants to have a relationship with me, and that is fantastic. Because He doesn't care what other people think about me. It's just me and Him, and that's it, and that's great. And because He really cares about who I am. And He cares about who you are too. Sin distracts us. It gets in the way. It causes us to think we're something we're not. Jesus brings us back to who we really are. Why not find your identity in Him this very morning? Become a child of God. Be baptized into Christ. Identify with Him. Become a child of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. While together we stand and sing.